ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
G'day, welcome to The World Today. It's Monday, the 15th of December. I'm Nick Grimm, coming to you from Gadigal Land in Sydney. Today, Australia mourns as a terror attack on the Jewish community at Bondi sparks an outpouring of grief and anger. And eyewitnesses recount the terrifying moments of the shooting, as well as incredible acts of bravery.
Everyone was helping. There were doctors who were walking past. There were fireys. There were the lifesavers and the lifeguards. Everyone was doing their best. If there was one positive, it was everyone working together as best they could to try to save a very terrible situation.
Today, we're bringing you all the latest details as they still emerge in the wake of the Bondi terror shooting. We'll walk you through, too, how the horrific event unfolded and look into the questions being asked about whether anything could have been done to prevent the act of terror. Here's the latest facts. The total number of dead now stands at 16. That figure includes one of the gunmen who was shot dead yesterday by police at the scene. It's now been confirmed Shajid Akram was the 50-year-old father of the second gunman, 24-year-old Naveed Akram, who remains in hospital under police guard in a critical but stable condition. The ABC understands that ASIO took an interest in Naveed Akram 6 years ago after police foiled plans for a domestic terror attack then. Despite close ties to a Sydney-based Islamic State terror cell, he was not previously regarded as posing any immediate threat. Turning to the victims now, a 10-year-old girl is among those killed. The eldest victim was an 87-year-old Holocaust survivor. Meanwhile, a total of 42 people have been injured. Among those in hospital receiving treatment, Sydney man Ahmed El Ahmed, who so bravely acted to disarm one of the gunmen and help bring an end to the killing. He would be hit by gunfire twice in the moments that followed. Meanwhile, an appeal for blood donations has resulted in long lines at Red Cross centres around Sydney. Let's get the latest from Bondi Beach now, where reporter Alison Chow has found a community still reeling with shock and devastation.
As the sun rises, a trickle of people starts to flow in.
My sympathies with everyone, with the rabbi who passed away, with all the deceased, to the hero who stopped more fatalities. It's just devastating.
By mid-morning, a huge crowd has gathered behind the police tape.
I think we're all just shocked about this happening in our backyard, you know, where you can hear the gunshots from home. Shouldn't be happening around here.
I walk here every day and they've ruined it for us. They've ruined, for whether you're Jewish or not, they've ruined it.
But someone took it upon themselves to think they can kill innocent families who were just there to celebrate. To do that is just beyond understanding.
Many here now were also at Bondi Beach last night.
I just looked over and there was like a sea of people just like storming the beach, and people were jumping into the restaurant and like hiding under our own table.
And we just like running, and I mean, I saw a little boy and he couldn't find his mum, and I just didn't know what to do because I just wanted to be safe.
Danielle says she's been shaken by this tragedy.
And then someone said, there's a shooting at the pavilion, and I realised my daughter was there. And I just ran down. I heard the gunshots on my way down. And my daughter rang me, they were in lockdown. And she said, please, Mum, don't come.
There is devastation throughout the Australian Jewish community.
It's terrifying for them. I mean, they're used to it because they go to a Jewish day school. And my daughter said to me, she's like, oh, you know, Mum, now that I've been in something real, I'm going to be really good at the lockdowns they have at school. It makes me feel sick that it might take something like this for people to understand that, you know, the threat is real.
This man was also at the Hanukkah by the Sea event last night.
I was with my daughter under a car, my wife and a baby holding her two-year-old there, and I didn't know where she was. I couldn't locate her. My son had run away, and thank God we found him after in the Surf Life Saving Club. He had blood on his jumper. What happened to Australia? How the f*** is this in Bondi Beach? It's my beach.
Rabbi Mendel Castell lost his brother-in-law, Rabbi Eli Schlanger, the organiser of last night's festival.
This is not the Australia that we know. This is not the Australia that we want. We want to be able to live in harmony. We want to be able to live in peace, support each other, love each other, care for each other. And that's the kind of country, and that's the message of Hanukkah, and that's the message from the Jewish community. Even at a time like this, that we still need to hold together, love each other, and care for each other.
Also in Bondi, American tourists and expats, today reflecting on their own experiences with gun violence.
We came here and what we felt is just a sense of safety and openness in the people. And you could feel the sudden shift and shock, and it was really, really devastating. There's definitely a harsh heaviness today. You can feel that.
Dustin Lerick has come to Bondi Pavilion to lay flowers.
I'm from the US, so this is not new for me. And I moved here a significant reason to escape gun violence. So this is deeply painful.
Among the crowd, there are also messages of defiance.
There's one thing I know, and that, you know, Australia as a community, I know Bondi as a community, we'll get together and we'll support each other and we'll get through this.
We both ended up just coming down here this morning to kind of feel like we want to reclaim the beach. You know, This is our hood, this is our home, we want to reclaim it. And there are people down there on the beach, and that's great. It's beyond belief. So, yeah, we're going to make it good again.
Don't let it define the entire community, and also it's just breeds hate and divisiveness. But actually, Bondi is a really, really strong and beautiful community. And it's just terrible that something could happen here, but I really just hope it brings people together instead of pushes people apart.
The voices of Bondi locals ending that report by Alison Shaw. New South Wales police have confirmed the two Bondi gunmen were father and son. 24-year-old Naveed Akram remains in hospital under police guard. His 50-year-old father, Sajid Akram, was shot dead in an exchange of gunfire with police. A massive and complex police investigation into the attack is now underway, as Bridget Fitzgerald reports. And a warning, this story contains some distressing content.
It was this. The shocking sound of gunfire that shattered an otherwise idyllic summer evening at Bondi. Two men standing on a bridge open fire into a crowd gathered to celebrate the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. In an horrific attack that lasted several minutes, the two men continue shooting, using multiple firearms as desperate onlookers plead with them to stop. At one point, one of the gunmen moves from the bridge into the park, where, in an extraordinary act of bravery, he's tackled and disarmed by a member of the public.
Oh!
In this video, local man Ahmed Al-Ahmed, a 43-year-old father of two, jumped out from behind a parked car and wrestled the gun away from the attacker. In the wake of such devastation, witnesses say there were countless examples of first responders and community members rushing to help those injured despite the danger. New South Wales Leader of the Opposition, Kelly Sloan, was at an event nearby when the attack began. She was part of a group that arrived to try and help.
You know, the locals, the first responders, the people from our surf clubs, from Bondi Surf Club and North Bondi, who raced to the scene and were there first. And who were handing out bandages, who were, you know, they absolutely saved lives.
Police have now confirmed the attack was carried out by a father and son. 24-year-old Naveed Akram remains in hospital under police guard, while his father, 50-year-old Sajid Akram, was shot dead by police. New South Wales Police Commissioner Mal Lanyon says authorities had very little knowledge of the men before yesterday.
The 50-year-old male is a licensed firearms holder. We are satisfied that we have six firearms from the scene yesterday, but also as a result of the search warrant at the Campsie address. Ballistics and forensic investigation will determine this morning that those six firearms are the six that were licensed to that man, but also that they were used in the offence yesterday at Bondi.
Two explosive devices were recovered from the scene and rendered safe by the bomb disposal unit. Police are not looking for anyone else involved in the attack, but hundreds of New South Wales police have been deployed this morning as part of a community safety campaign in what's been dubbed Operation Shelter.
Bridget Fitzgerald. As we've been hearing, in the wake of the shooting, a massive response swung into gear to help the victims of the shooting. Emergency workers were joined by volunteers, medicos and others with the ability to help save lives or assist those struggling with the trauma of what had unfolded. One of those who joined the effort was Sydney cardiologist and Bondi lifesaver James Otten. He was one of those there dealing with what was an unprecedented situation for everyone caught up in the ordeal. James Otten, can you talk me through how you came to be on the scene and what you saw unfold?
Sure. I'd just been at the North Bondi Surf Club and was on the road opposite the club at the time when the shooting started. Like many people, I thought that it was perhaps firecrackers until people started running. I took shelter in the local cafe and came out after the guns had stopped and sirens were heard. And then that's when I realised that there were a lot of casualties.
You are a Sydney cardiologist, a medico. Obviously, that medical training would have been very useful. You're also a lifesaver there at Bondi Beach. So what did you do next?
Well, someone was running in my direction asking if anyone medical could help. So I ran towards that area. It was already at a stage where at least one ambulance had arrived and there were a lot of people who were clearly quite severely injured. Fortunately, people had brought some equipment from the surf club. The ambulances were arriving and I did my best to help out.
From what you were seeing and experiencing there, what sort of things can you comment on today about that effort that swung into operation in the aftermath of the shooting?
So there were a lot of casualties. There was some chaos, but the ambos and the paramedics did a fantastic job trying to control that and coordinate that. Everyone was helping. There were doctors who were walking past. There were fireys. There were the lifesavers and the lifeguards. Everyone was doing their best. And if there was one positive, it was everyone working together as best they could to try to save a very terrible situation.
Was there any anger? Were people reacting with anger at this stage? Or was it more just about helping those that needed help?
I didn't feel anger. I think everyone was focused on dealing with the issue at hand. There were grieving relatives. There was despair and sorrow in the background. But for most of us at the scene, we were just doing our best to help each one of the victims.
As a cardiologist, you're not a trauma specialist. It must have been quite overwhelming to be confronted by those scenes.
Yep, 100%. I'm completely untrained for this scenario. The paramedics and the ambos did all the important work. I was very fortunate that there were anaesthetists and ED doctors and lots of people there to help, including the lifeguards from Bondi. And again, I think everyone did their best, and I did what little I could.
You must be still struggling to process those scenes happening at a location that's always been a playground for Australians, a place where the city and the ocean meet and somewhere that brings people from all over the world to visit and to enjoy.
Yep, I'm a 50-year-old cardiologist and I feel trauma. But I wasn't shot. My loved ones weren't killed and my kids weren't killed. And my real sympathies go to the victims of this terrible action. I was looking predominantly after one security guard who I was very glad made it onto an ambulance and into hospital. And I very much hope that he made it through.
Can you give me a sense of what that moment was like? Obviously, you don't want to dwell on the horror of it, but just from your point of view, what are your thoughts today as you think back on what's happened?
Nick, I think for a lot of people, there's a sense of unreality. We live in this beautiful, peaceful country, and even now looking back, it seems unreal that such a terrible thing occurred. And yeah, it's tough to think about.
James, what would be your message to people who are watching the coverage of this event? What do you think people need to reflect on a day like this?
Well, I hope that all Australians can stand together and that we can all help each other, protect each other, and look after each other.
James Otten, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks, Nick.
And James Otten is a cardiologist who was among the first responders tending to the victims of the terror attack. Thanks for listening to The World Today here on ABC Radio across Australia and on the ABC Listen app. Subscribe to the podcast for all our stories. Just search for The World Today. So far, the names of five victims have been released, including two rabbis and a Holocaust survivor. Angus Randall reports.
As a child, Alexander Clateman survived the Holocaust, fighting alongside his mother and younger brother to make it through the harsh Siberian winter. After the war, he moved from Ukraine to Australia to work as a civil engineer. His children and grandchildren were also attending the Bondi Hanukkah celebrations. Alexander Clateman's wife, Larissa, says her husband of 57 years died trying to protect her from the bullets. She briefly spoke to the media after leaving hospital.
Your husband was killed in the attack?
Yes.
No. You don't know? You haven't been able to find out?
No.
How are you feeling right now, all of you? In shock.
Many of the victims were those who'd moved to Australia for a better life, like French national Dan El-Khayyam. In a statement, French President Emmanuel Macron confirmed Mr. El-Khayyam is among the dead. He moved to Sydney last year and, according to his social media, had been working as an IT analyst. Businessman Reuven Morrison emigrated from the Soviet Union as a teenager in the 1970s and made his home in Bondi. In the wake of last year's attack on a Melbourne synagogue, he told the ABC he'd grown up watching his back and had hoped Australia would be a safe place for Jewish people.
They're not scared about the kids when they take the kids to kindergarten and schools, and they don't know, you know, what kind of events can take place.
Two other victims to be named were rabbis at Chabad in Bondi, a global Hasidic Jewish organisation. Rabbi Eli Schlanger had served the local community for 18 years and was an organiser of the Hanukkah by the Sea event. Chabad spokesman Rabbi Moti Seligson spoke from New York.
He was really the beating heart of the community in Bondi and of this event, which is really the crown jewel of Hanukkah events in the country throughout Australia.
Rabbi Schlanger was a father of five, including a son born just 6 weeks ago.
We're devastated. You know, we lost a colleague and a friend and a family member. And it's not just one, not just Rabbi Schlanger, but there are others as well.
Rabbi Yaakov Levitan had served as the secretary of the Sydney Beth Din, the Jewish religious court. More information is expected to come out about the other victims over the coming days, as families are notified. In total, 42 people were taken to hospital, including two police officers. Australian Red Cross Lifeblood is transporting blood bags from interstate for victims and is urging the public to donate more. Spokesperson Jess Willett says the need for O-negative blood donors is critical.
We did have been supporting hospitals across Sydney and did receive several life-threatening orders for O-negative blood last night. And we have been, to make sure that we've got enough supplies, we have been shipping blood from across the country into Sydney and New South Wales.
Australian Red Cross Lifeblood spokesperson Jess Willett, Angus Randall and Julia Bergen with that report. As police work to piece together the events leading up to the Bondi terror attack, they've narrowed their focus on two locations connected to the shooters, the father and son, Sajid and Naveed Akram. Officers have conducted raids at an Airbnb in Campsie, where the father and son are believed to have stayed prior to their attack, along with the Akram family home in Bonnyrigg in Sydney's southwest, from where our reporter Tanya Dendrinos can bring us the latest. Tanya, can you describe the scene there at Bonnyrigg?
Nick, part of this suburban street in Bonnyrigg remains cordoned off with police tape. We've seen forensics, Australian Federal Police and local police officers in and around the home today, collecting whatever evidence they can in what will no doubt be a painstaking investigation. His home is believed to be the Akram family home. Police have confirmed the two gunmen were father and son. 50-year-old Sajid Akram was shot by police and died at the scene in Bondi yesterday. This morning, the New South Wales Police Commissioner said Sajid Akram had been a licensed firearms holder for the past decade, with six firearms licensed to him, which police say they have recovered. As for his son, 24-year-old Naveed Akram, he was critically injured yesterday and remains under police guard in hospital. The ABC understands ASIO had examined him back in 2019 for close ties to an Islamic State terror group cell based here in Sydney, Nick.
And what sort of reaction has there been from neighbours in the area?
The street has remained relatively quiet other than the police and media presence. There have been a few nearby residents stopping by and looking at the ongoing police operation, and they are all in shock. I spoke to a woman who lives nearby just a short time ago. She told me it was simply chilling and that her daughter was too scared to sleep last night. And that is a feeling that's been mentioned a few times here in Bonnyrigg today. A woman who lives across the road said the events that have transpired are just beyond belief.
We saw lots of police cars raided this street, and especially in that house. Yeah, so we couldn't sleep. We thought they are normal people. Yeah, we were so shocked to notice that one of the guy who shoot people, they live in here. Never imagine anything like this.
Bonnyrigg resident Lamena Tua Fatu, and before her, our reporter Tanya Dendrinos. And now, some breaking news. New South Wales Police have provided an update on police operations, and they say based on the medical condition of the 24-year-old gunman currently in a hospital, they say it is likely that he will face criminal charges. Political leaders around the world have condemned the Bondi attack and have offered their support and condolences to the victims and their families. Many countries say they'll boost security at events on their own soil, as Hanukkah is celebrated by the Jewish community right around the world. Here, members of the Jewish community say they're in shock, with some vowing to leave Australia because they feel unsafe. Kathleen O'Connor reports.
Australia's Prime Minister was quick to condemn the shooting, calling it a vile terrorist attack striking at the heart of the nation.
What we saw yesterday was an act of pure evil, an act of anti-Semitism, an act of terrorism on our shores in an iconic Australian location, Bondi Beach.
As the country's Jewish community reels, Anthony Albanese pledged to rid the nation of anti-Semitism.
Yesterday was indeed a dark day in our nation's history, but we as a nation are stronger than the cowards who did this. We will look at whatever is necessary, whatever comes out of this investigation. If there is any action required in terms of legislative response, we will certainly have it.
He also thanked world leaders for their support. US President Donald Trump paid tribute at the White House Christmas reception.
In Australia, as you know, that was a terrible attack, and that was an anti-Semitic attack. I just want to pay my respects to everybody.
In Europe, a crowd of around 100 people gathered outside the Australian High Commission in London for a vigil. Political leaders used social media to express their sorrow for the victims and their families. UK's Prime Minister Keir Starmer labelling the shooting sickening. And in a statement, French President Emmanuel Macron declared anti-Semitic hatred hurts us all. But Israel has hit out. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu blaming the attack on the Australian government's inaction.
Your government did nothing to stop the spread of anti-Semitism in Australia.
The attack was carried out on the first day of Hanukkah. Jewish leaders are now bolstering security for celebrations around the world. Alex Rivchin is president of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. He says the community is broken and he doesn't know how to keep his 12-year-old daughter safe.
I have to tell her whether she should be terrified. And this time I can't tell her not to be terrified.
Australia's anti-Semitism envoy, Gillian Segal, has recommended significant changes to protect Australia's Jews in a report she handed to the government earlier this year.
The messaging has not been sufficient and the education has not been sufficient for people to understand what anti-Semitism is and how it destroys the community.
Labor MP Josh Burns, who is Jewish, says the community was already on high alert.
Often there are armed guards outside Jewish community institutions in Australia because of the real threat that is posed to just going about your life and expressing your Jewish identity in Australia. You know, in the Australia that I grew up in, this has been a place where you could be who you want to be.
Opposition leader Susan Lee says the government must do more, including adopting one of Gillian Segal's recommendations.
Everything must change from today in how governments respond.
Prime Minister Albanese says the government is working through the Anti-Semitism Envoy's report.
Kathleen O'Connor. And that's all from the World Today team. Thanks for your company. I'm Nick Grimm.